Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so we're continuing reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled Samam Bonam. And we're in the 10th chapter, which is entitled Deliverance of the Yama Arjuna Trees. We're going to do two verses. Six has no purport, so I'll recite that by myself. Then we'll move on to seven, which we'll do responsibly. So, text six. Tangjishtra Ridita Devyo Vivashtraksha Pashankitaha Vashangsi Paryadhuk Shigram Vivastro Naivagoyakau. Translation, upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kuvera did not do so. Instead, not caring about Narada, they remained naked. Now, text 7. Tau Trishtwa Madira Matto Sri Madandho Surat Majo Tayor Anugahartaya Shapam Dasyan Idam Jagau Tau Jishtwa Madira Matau Srimadantho Surat Majau Tayar Anugrahartaya Shapang Dasyan Idam Jagau Tau Jishtwa Madira Matau Srimadhantho Surat Majo Tayor Anugrahartaya Shapang Dasyan Nidang Jagau Tau Trishtwa Madira Matto Srimadhantho Surat Majo Tayor Anugrahartaya Shapang Dasyan Nidang Jago. Please chant. Trishtwa Madira Matto Srimadantho Surat Majo Tayor Anugahartaya Shapang Dasya Nidang Jago Tau Trishtwa Madira Matto Srimadandho Surat Majo Tayor Anugrahartaya Kapam Dasyanyanjo Tau Drishtwa Madira Matto Srimadandho Surat Majo Tayor Anugrahartaya Shapang Dasya Nidang Jagam Vaishnavis Tau Drishtwa Madira Matto Srimadandho Suratmaja Tayor Anugahartaya Chapang Dasya Nidang Jaga Tao Drishtwa Marira Matta Srimadandho Nahratmaja Tayor Anugahartaya Tau drishtva marira matta Srimadandho suratmaja Tayor anugahartaya Shapang dasyanidangjaga. So, synonyms, Tau. The two boys of the demigods. Drishtva, seeing. Madhira Matto. Very intoxicated because of drinking liquor. Srimada Andho. Being blind with false prestige and opulence. Sura Atmajo. The two sons of the demigods. Tayoho, unto them, anugrahartaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy, shapam, a curse, dasyan, desiring to offer them, idam, this, jago, uttered. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus, he spoke as follows. Please repeat. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Purport. Although in the beginning Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end the two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nalakuvara and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacide Shtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishyavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishal Kanvatamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shiyadeti Gadadhara Shivasani Gorbhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So who's speaking here? Who's speaking this verse? Who's speaking that verse? Not me. I'm only repeating what the original speaker, Shukadeva Goswami. Interestingly, we're hearing how these two boys are condemned for being naked, but the speaker of the Bhagavatam himself, Shukadeva Goswami, he appeared in the assembly naked. And he was not condemned. Because he's in the Avadhuta platform. We discussed last class, I recited that verse describing his qualities as the son of Vyasadeva. So, he's in the Avadhuta state of life. Originally did not even want to be born, stayed in the womb for a long time, didn't want to be entangled in material affairs. So when he eventually came out, he definitely did not get entangled. Lord Krishna came to the ashram of Vyasadeva and his wife and promised Shukadeva Goswami, you will not be entangled, please come out, give your mother a break. So he came out of the womb and went off naked, but he is not condemned for being naked. So it seems to be a dichotomy here. Sometimes nakedness is all right, other times not. So Prabhupada has discussed that the more one becomes civilized, the more one covers the body. And when you're uncivilized, just like even till today, there's still some what would be considered primitive or uncivilized tribes, and they generally walk around mostly naked, if not totally naked. Even though they live in the jungle where there's some really, really rad insects, some really huge insects. You think in such a place you'd want to cover your body as much as possible, right? When Westerners go on safari, they want to cover from head to toe. They don't want anything to bite them. But these guys, they live in the jungle with the biggest spiders and the biggest beetles and the biggest of everything, and they walk around practically naked all the time. So, but generally speaking, the more one becomes civilized, the more one covers oneself. So Prabhupada was saying, these hippies nowadays in his time, when he was here in the 60s and early 70s, they're becoming more uncivilized because they want to walk around naked and have sex in public and stuff like that. They want to make that the norm. So this is uncivilized. So in higher civilized society, one should cover oneself. And there's a story in connection with that, because today's Bhishmashtami. I'll tell that story after we discuss the verse today. So we have a saying in English, to err is human. In other words, human beings make mistakes. Once in a while, practically all the time, right? Make mistakes. And therefore we get mad at inanimate objects because of our mistakes. I've been dealing with computers since I learned to program mainframe computers. I've been dealing with computers before the invention of the personal computer. So, decades ago I used to actually build computers and sell them. And we have a saying, those of us who are into computer tech, that whenever there's a mistake, it's almost always operator error. Right? And the person will tell you, this is wrong with a computer and that's wrong with a computer, but it's actually usually mostly wrong with them. They don't know what they're doing and they make all kinds of mistakes. So in general, in human life, we're like that. We don't know what we're doing and we make all kinds of mistakes and then we want to blame others or blame inanimate objects and we get mad. And so this is a mistake by these two sons of Kuvera. Nalakuvara, sometimes we say Nalakuvera because the father is Kuvera, but the name is actually Nalakuvara and Manigriva. So they made this mistake. They're supposed to be living in civilized society and they're acting like animals. In the previous verse, text 6, we see the young ladies, they were at least conscious enough to cover themselves when a great sage, saintly person comes on the scene. But the two boys being intoxicated, not just with the liquor they were drinking, but it stated, what are the two things they were intoxicated by? Opulence and false prestige. So it's a warning to those who are on the spiritual path. And Krishna himself says, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaptanam, Taya Purta Chetasam, that Bhoga and Aishwarya, trying sense gratification and opulence, these two things bewilder us. A very, very simple cure. Everything belongs to Krishna. You can never own anything. If you just let that sink in, the fever comes down. But we become foolishly enamored of our possessions, my car, my house, what to speak of houses, my wife, my children, my. This is the disease, the material disease. And the cure is everything belongs to Krishna. You're born with nothing. When you leave, you can't take anything. Whatever you get in the interim between birth and death, use it in Krishna's service because it belongs to him. Very, very simple understanding. But Because we've been here since time immemorial, trying to get ahead by acquiring more and more. It's very difficult to give up that mentality. Krishna gives me an iPad, my iPad. No, it's an iPad that belongs to Krishna, and the proper use is to have all of Prabhupada's books on it. That's the proper use. I've said many times, those of us again who are in technology, we've seen the advancement of technology, and every time they make a big leap, it's something that you can use in Krishna's service. And if you don't, then it simply bewilders you. Right? Simply bewilders you. So, these two boys are bewildered by their opulent position as sons of Kuvera and their false prestige based on that opulence. So, it's a little bit discouraging because it seems that, you know, again, to err is human, but even on higher human-like platforms like the demigod platform, they're also making mistakes all the way up to Lord Brahma. We know Lord Brahma made a mistake of testing Krishna, plus other mistakes that he's made. So it seems that, you know, as long as you're in this material world, no matter what strata you're on, whatever socioeconomic level you're on, you're going to make mistakes. And that we know is that one of the four defects of the conditioned soul is that the conditioned soul makes mistakes. Well, you're subject to illusion. It's eating propensity. And we have senses that are faulty. These are the four defects of conditioned life. So that extends upwards and downwards from animal life through human life to demigod life. Whatever level you're on, those four defects, as long as you're not a pure devotee, are there to some degree. You're going to make mistakes. So they made a very bad error of judgment here. And now, question. Does the father, Kuvera, get any reaction for their mistakes? Do parents suffer the sinful reactions of their children? Huh? No, it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Up to 14, the child doesn't get any sinful reaction. This was Maryada of Manduka Muni, that the children don't get any reaction up until age 14 because of, you know, the story of with Yamaraj. So the question is, do the parents get reaction? And you're saying up until 14. After that, no. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. No, that's why we're discussing. We're supposed to be conducting our human society according to the laws of Manu. As a matter of fact, human beings are called Manushya. We're directly connected to demigods. Right? Vivasvan Manave Praha Manu Ishvaku Vibhavit. Manu gave birth to Ishvaku, and Ishvaku is the demigod from whom human beings have descended. Human beings on this earth planet are said to be descended from Ikshvaku. So we're connected to the demigods, lo and behold. As I've said many times, we're all connected, whichever path you look at. If you look at the spiritual side, we trace our spiritual genealogy back to Lord Brahma. And if you look at the material genealogy, your parents, their parents, it goes back to Lord Brahma also. So we're all connected, whichever way you look at it. So all this business of fighting and hating each other, it's just all nonsense. It means people are not properly trained in who they are and what their proper connection is to each other. And that's one of the things that the spiritual side of the coin, specifically the Hare Krishna movement, can offer to society. We can prove to them, you're all connected. Why are you fighting? It doesn't matter what your designation, what upadhi you're operating under. It's a temporary designation. Man, woman, black, white, young, old, fat, thin, rich, poor. These are all temporary designations. Don't get caught up in that. See the big picture. See the clear picture beyond that. So I got a shake of head over here. You don't agree? All right, so what is your statement? Do the parents get reaction? Yes or no? Or
devotee parents suffering all over the world because of things their kids are doing or not doing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, the reason I brought it up is because we have a very clear statement in Prabhupada's books that the leaders of society, they get 1/6 of the karma of the citizens that they're leading. That's a very clear statement. And therefore, we're not surprised. Quite often we see on the world somebody's a leader for some time and then they get dragged down, sometimes in very horrible ways, like this Gaddafi in Libya. He was ruling there for so many decades. And in the end, he got dragged out, he got beaten, he got shot, he was like murdered. People were so mad at him. So this is when the karma catches up with you. 1/6 of the karma of the people. And if as a leader, you're not careful to make them do at least pious activities, what to speak of transcendental, best. but at least pious activities, then it's going to catch up to you. If you lead a country and you turn a blind eye to the impious activities of the citizens, drinking, smoking, carousing, all this kind of stuff, like the Manigrim and Nalakuba right here, then that reaction is going to catch up to you. But now we're discussing parents. Do the parents get reaction for the children? In other words, is Kuvera going to suffer some reaction for the deeds of his adult sons here? Brigapati has some opinion.
Well, there are many statements in Prabhupada's books and lectures where how he explains how if a child becomes a pure devotee, if you have if there's a pure devotee in the family, and so many generations backwards and forwards get liberation. So, of course, that's not, they don't get a negative reaction, but they're getting a positive reaction. So apparently there's some connection. There's some connection, between what the offspring does and what happens to the parents, even more than just that one generation.
Well, we have some statements, specifically from Rishabhadev in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, where he's preaching to his 100 sons. And we have that famous verse, Guru Nasasya, Janani Nasasya, all of these. Don't be father, mother, relative, guru, leader. If you can't namocha yaksama praetamurtam, if you can't lead them away from death. So that implies that if you don't do that, and Prabhupada said clearly in many lectures, if you don't do that, you have this responsibility to lead them to the path of deathlessness. If you do not do that, then you take that responsibility. You take that reaction for them coming back. And therefore it's better not to be. But how can you not be? Everybody's related to somebody. Even if you never become a father or a guru or a leader, you have relatives. So you have a responsibility to try to deliver your relatives. Hold on to it. And there's also another nice verse from Rishabhadev. Let me just find that. I didn't memorize that one, so let me see if I can find it here. It's in the fifth canto. I do remember where it is, fifth chapter. And I think it's text 15, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. This is Rishabhadev. Putramscha shishyamscha nirpo gururva ma loka kamo madano graharata ittam vimanyur ashishyat atajgyan na yojayat karmasu karma mudan kang yojayan manujartam labeta nipatayan nashta drishang hi garte. And Prabhupada translates, if one is serious about going back to home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. So the responsibility is clearly stated. You have to lead them on the right path, back to home, back to Godhead. And ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. So this is where the Sankirtan movement comes in. By going out on Sankirtan, and all our activities are part of the Sankirtan, whether we're distributing books, chanting in the street, distributing prasadam, it's all Sankirtan. And it's a way of engaging the ignorant people in the right activity, in devotional service. When we go out and chant, whether they like it or not, by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, they're engaging in devotional service, because hearing is the beginning. Shravanam, now they've heard the holy name Krishna, Radha, Hare, Rama. Their devotional activity has begun. They cannot turn the clock back. As I've said many times, by the time they do this, cover the ears, it's too late. The mantra has already gone in, and the cleansing process has begun. Jeto Darpana Marjana. So, this is why we go out, and it's so important to be out there dressed as Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, because you never know who you'll meet. Generally, when I go with the Harinam on Fridays to Santa Monica, I like to come back a little early because I like to see the deities before the doors close, take some pictures of them. So I usually come back on the train, take the train back. And almost every time, there is some memorable encounter. I remember like a few months back, I just got off the train here at Palms and National, and there was a woman walking her dog, and she was yelling out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I went over, curious, I mean, what's your connection, how do you know? She said, oh, I go to your restaurant all the time. She lives in a neighborhood somewhere. She's out walking the dog, but she recognizes devotees, and she likes them. Oh, I like you people, I like your food, like that. So that was one. Another time I'm coming back, I get on the train, and this, you'd have to say, nice-looking gentleman, nicely dressed, comes on with a very expensive bike. I know bikes, so I know this one is like $1,000 plus electric bike. And he says, Haribo. So I say, Hare Krishna. And it turns out, he is the brother of a proper disciple, devotee. And he said for many years, he never took any interest in Krishna consciousness. He's a lawyer. But he said his life became so intensely miserable. So intensely miserable that he just turned to Krishna. He just felt compelled to turn to Krishna. So he started reading. He's Yogeshwara's cousin, by the way. Some of you know Yogeshwara Prabhu, our god brother. So his life became so miserable that he turned to Krishna consciousness, started reading the books, and he became initiated. Not, we would say, directly in ISKCON. He became the disciple of Tripurari Maharaj. But very nice. We had a nice conversation. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I get on the train, and this huge guy, this guy had to be like 6.5 feet tall, black body, not very friendly looking, look kind of mean, just externally look kind of mean. And so I'm looking at him, he looks at me, he walks up, he says, Hare Krishna. So, of course, again, I want to know what's the connection. So he sat down, I sat down opposite him. He's never been to a temple, never been to the restaurant, but he just sees devotees on the street and he likes the vibration. He says, I just like the vibe you people have. So he asked a lot of questions, you know, how do you compare to the Muslims and Buddhists and this and that. Remarkably, within like, what is like 3 or 4 stops from Santa Monica to here, and we had a long conversation, and he took my, you know, contact details and stuff. So being out there, dressed as devotees is so important. So important. People are watching us. People are affected by us. We have to understand that. It's not... that's why Prabhupada said, whatever you do, don't give up the street chanting. Go out for street chanting. Even when it was difficult, even when we were getting arrested for chanting on the street, Prabhupada said, don't give it up. Go out and chant. So what? What's the fault? What's the loss? If they arrest you, put you in jail, just keep chanting. So important. So this is how we engage the public in devotional service, even if they're not willing. Even unwillingly, they're engaging in devotional service by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, by repeating, by becoming favorable. Prabhupada said once, even if they just think, you Hare Krishna people are nice, you have a right to do what you're doing. He said they make spiritual advancement just for that favorable attitude. So we can discuss more later about the karma business, but I just wanted to leave a little time to speak about Bhishmashtami. It's the appearance of Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is a very, very important central figure in the Mahabharata, as you know. And very interesting backstory. It appears in the Adiparva of the Mahabharata, how he was one of the 8 Vasus, Ashtavasus. His name was Jao. And one day, they were wandering in a celestial forest that was controlled, practically it said owned by Vashishtha Muni. And Vashishtha Muni had this Kamadhenu, which appears in some other stories also. But Jao's wife, she became enamored of this cow. This cow was beautiful, she had a beautiful calf, and she could give anything that she desired from her udders. Anything you wanted, she could produce from her udders. So Jao's wife said, I want that cow, get me that cow. And without thinking of the impropriety of his activities, he engaged his brothers, the other 7 Vasus, and they snatched the cow and took her away. Vashishtha came, where's my cow? Couldn't find the cow. But by his divine consciousness, he could understand what happened, and he cursed them. He cursed them to become human beings. So, when they understood they were cursed, they went back and they begged forgiveness, and he said, okay, you 7, All the others besides the LU7, you'll come back in 1 year. You'll take birth on earth and be back in the demigod society in 1 year. But you, because you are the leader and the one who actually snatched the cow, you will live on the earth for a long, long time. So this Jao is the one who became Bhishma Dev. And long story short, Mother Ganges had also been condemned to take a human form because once she was in the assembly of Lord Brahma, and the wind took her clothes away, and there was a king there who was looking at her lustily, and she was also looking back lustfully. So Brahma cursed both of them. And Mother Ganges, you have to take birth on earth, stay there for some time. So Ganga Devi became married to Maharaj Shantanu and produced, they had this agreement that you don't criticize me for anything that I do, anything at all, he agreed. And year after year she gave birth to a son, took it to the Ganges and threw it in. And he bit his tongue every time. But when the eighth child was born, he said, "You wretched woman, how can you do such a horrible thing, kill your own children?" She said, "Oh, that's it, you criticize me, I'm leaving." He said, "But please don't kill the son." "No, I won't kill this one, but I'm going to take him away, and when the time is right, you'll be reunited." So she, along with Vasishtha Muni, they trained this son, Bhishma, in everything, philosophy, how to live, everything. So he was extremely, extremely learned, and what to speak of, martially talented. And but as one of his big, you could say, claims to fame, notoriety, is that Tridavrata, that serious vow that he took when his father wanted to remarry. One day the father smelled this beautiful smell of musk, and he followed it to the cottage of a fisherman. And who was there? Satyavati. Yes. And she had actually, before that, always, a long time ago, it always smelled like fish. But the sage Parashurmuni gave her the blessing that if she would unite with him and they produced a son, what was their son's name? Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva immediately left and said, "Anytime you want me, you just call me, I'll come." But part of the deal was that the sage blessed her two things, that she would no longer smell fishy, she would have this wonderful aroma, and the second one, that she would again be a virgin, even though she already had a son. So Maharaj Shantanu followed that aroma to the cottage, he smelled, and there she was, and he wanted to marry her. But the father was very politically astute. He said, "No, you already have a son, so my daughter's offspring, they will not have any claim to your throne. So I won't give her to you." So the father went back, he was very distraught, upset, depressed. And when Bhishma Dev came to find out that his father was depressed, he asked the ministers why, and they told him the story. So he went to the fisherman's cottage and said, "Please give your daughter to my father. I will not claim the throne. They will claim the throne." But the father, again, being very politically astute, said, "But you may not claim the throne, but your children may claim the throne." And he said, "I will never marry. I will not produce any offspring." So this is the Devavrata. He became known as Devavrata, taking a godly vow. And the demigods showered flowers and like that. So he's very well known. So many things can be said about Bhishma Dev's life. Very, very heroic personality. And lived a very, very long time. That was part of the curse from Vasishtha Muni. So he was there for generation after generation up until the time of the Pandavas. Therefore he's known as the great grandsire. Even though he never produced any children, still he's known as the grandsire of that dynasty, because he was there to guide things generation after generation. He lived hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. And in the end, we know, he also got the benediction from Maharaj Shantanu, since he arranged the marriage, that you will not die if you don't want to. So nobody could kill him. And finally, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna pierced him with arrows, and he lay on that bed of arrows. And from that position, he gave wonderful instructions to the Pandavas. I just wanted to read one verse of those instructions so we can remember Bhishma Dev today. So this you'll find in the 9th chapter of the first canto. Chapter 9, and I selected, I think it was text 23. Yeah. So this is Bhishma Dev speaking. He says, Bhaktya Veshavano Yasmin Vacha Yannama Kirtayan Chajan Kalevarang Yogi Muchate Kama Karma Bihi. Prabhupada translates, the personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. So, this we should meditate on, that Krishna will release us from all bondage and take us back to home, back to Godhead. This is our meditation. We have full faith that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality and He can do this. Not to try to keep the body alive forever. Yes, we should do our best to stay healthy, but that's not the goal of life. Like this month is National Heart Disease Awareness Month. And the medical industry, they give people false hope that if you just give us enough money, we'll cure this disease, heart disease. Give us enough money, we'll cure cancer. Give us enough money, we'll cure that disease, that disease. And the underlying false promise is that some or other, by curing all diseases, you'll go on living forever. No. The body is destined to die. Krishna says, whatever has taken birth in this world will die. And after death, rebirth will be there. That is guaranteed for everybody. So this attempt to keep the body alive forever at all costs and at all means is not at all condoned by Shastra. Everything has its time of birth and its time of death. While you're alive, yes, you try your level best to maintain good health. But it's not the ultimate goal. This is the goal. To be able to meditate on Krishna when that end point comes, which it did even for Bhishma Dev. Even though he had the benediction, he would not die unless he wanted to. So, this is our meditation today. We remember Bhishma Dev, it's his appearance day, and we remember this instruction. You should read that purport if you get a chance. First Canto, Chapter 9, Text 23. Very beautiful purport Prabhupada wrote there. So we can stop here. Grantaram Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.